or to let them go to History Makers in the nursery. We're good. We're very, very kid friendly. And actually, there's a lot of, you know, we thank Keith because he worked like a dog out there, and he probably has some kind of respiratory illness because there was something in the air in that shed that you want to wear a HIPAA certified mask. But the truth is, it's all about, there's so much amazing cuteness in this building right now. Redheaded babies, no hair babies. We've got beautiful kids everywhere, right? You guys can't do this. Y'all see my deal? There we go. Does that look familiar to anybody who's over 50 years old? Like, do you recognize the table, the counters? I mean, I don't know. Do y'all recognize the hairdo? You know, I love that picture. It just reminds me of my life. It's like, and I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving, being thankful, having gratitude. I love that we use that word in the song. You're not going to be able to leave here today grumpy, depressed, resentful, in a bad, sour mood. You're not going to be able to leave here today being a grumpy old man. I mean, I don't know. I've heard some people say that term lately. I'm just saying, I'm not sure who they were describing, but there's somebody in the room. Maybe several of us. It depends on where we are. You're not going to be able to not smile today. I'm sorry. I hate to take your frown away from you, and you won't know where you put it. It's like, remember baby Jesus? Somebody took him, and they don't know where he's at. Well, we want to take away your frown today. It's like this. If I gave away a token today that says you could buy all the gas for your car from now on for 99 cents a gallon, would you take it? Heck yeah, every one of us would. It's like, yeah, give me back. I can remember 28 cents a gallon back when I was a kid. Yeah. Well, what I want to give you today, the only way to get it is to be given. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. There's nothing you got in your pocket that can make it happen. But there's something the Lord wants us to know. Thanksgiving is a big deal. I'll show you the verse I want to use today. I hate to leave this picture because that is such a great Thanksgiving meal right there. It reminds us of how much our society has advanced. Like, it's crazy. I love the stove over there. And it was a really fancy stove there every time. Okay, here we go. First verse. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I want to look at that verse a little bit and look at some other verses, but it just seems impossible. Well, oh, I know, we're Christians. We're supposed to put on a face, a mask, when we come to church and smile and be fake. No, that's not what that's saying. There's something about joy that comes from the inside out that the world can't steal from you. The devil can't stop. Circumstances can't change it. It's from the inside out. And so I want to talk about this today. Now, it's interesting. Pray without ceasing. That's not talking about praying 24 hours a day so that you don't ever do anything else. That's literally saying, listen, don't live a life without prayer. Prayer is a part of who we are. Don't find yourself at a point in your life where you never pray anymore, where you don't stop and you don't contemplate and you don't communicate with the Lord. It's like he said, don't get to that place. Pay attention. If you're not praying, you need to find out why you're not praying. And it's a big deal. And so, now, why does God want us to be thankful? Why does he say this more? And there's several. I could do all the verses today, but we'd run out of time. Why does he want you to be thankful? And I want to look at that today. Now, he says that as a command. He says, rejoice, pray. Don't become a person who doesn't pray. And in everything, give thanks. And do you know, it's interesting, there used to be an old Pentecostal or type of saying that was like this, God's will is God's bill. Y'all ever hear that? Am I the only one that's heard it? It's like, no, that's like, and you know, it's sort of insinuating, well, you know, God wants me to go buy a new car, so I don't even have to worry about how I'm going to pay for it, what's going to happen, because if he wants me to buy a new car, it's his will, it's his bill. So that's not what that's talking about. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, anything that is coming from the Lord is good. He is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. And anything that's His will for us, His commands, and you see this in Hebrew in the Old Testament, the word command actually is defined as an expression given to you by someone who has the power to back it up. Like, there's nothing God ever asks for you that He's not going to give you the grace, the supernatural ability to do. If God's doing it, God backs it up. So God is saying in this, He said, listen, I'm going to back this up. I'm going to transform your mind. I'm going to transform your heart. I'm going to give you the power to be the kind of person that can stand in the midst of the storm and be thankful and have an inner peace, an inner sanctification that comes from Him that the world can't touch, the world can't stop, that nothing can stop this from happening inside of you. Now, that's the kind of thankfulness I want. I don't want you to pretend. God doesn't want us to be robots. He doesn't want us to do this and fake it. God has a way. There's a thing happening Jesus is doing inside of us that is creating an army of people who are thankful in all circumstances. Now, it's really true. So God's commands are always impossible to carry out without His supernatural enabling power. When Jesus was in that boat in the storm, He wasn't in the boat. The disciples are all in that boat, and there's a storm, and Jesus stayed on the other shore, and He told them to go across the lake. And these fishermen who lived in the water are going across the lake, and there's such a terrible storm, they all are scared literally to death. They're terrified. They're all going to die. They know they're going to die. And then they see a ghost walking on the water. That's what the Scripture says. Well, they thought it was a ghost. You see, I think that you and I are sometimes in those kind of storms, and we think we're all alone. And we need to remember, we know someone. We have someone who can walk on water. And they look out, and the lightning must have flashed where they could get a clear look at Him. And they're like, it's Jesus. Guys, it's Jesus. That's Jesus. I don't know who saw Him first. Probably Doubting Thomas, because he was probably the most scared. But he's like, it's Jesus. Jesus is walking on the water. And of course, great, you know, Peter, who reminds me of some of myself and some of you, Peter's like, Jesus, if that's you, somebody needs to slap Peter, because he knew full well it was Jesus. He saw Him. Jesus, if that's you, command me to come out on the water. Do you know that God wants to empower you to walk on the storms of your life? That's what this is all about. That's why you can't leave here unhappy. When God gives you the strength and gives you the revelation that it doesn't matter what storm you're in, He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords, and He can walk on the water in the storm. And He said, Peter, come on. He gave Peter a command. He said, come here. And Peter, y'all have seen, you know, The Chosen has a great picture of this, I think. But Peter's scared to death. But he looks at Jesus. You know, wouldn't you have your eyes locked on Jesus? I'm telling you, when you're in a bad storm, you better keep your eyes locked on Jesus. Because it's going to rain on everybody in this room. The just, unjust, it rains. We all are living in this world. And sometimes we have storms in our life. There's circumstances surrounding us. You better lock your eyes on Him. Like right now, today, are you in a storm? Is there something in your life that's beyond your ability to do, like walking on water? Well, and that's stupid. Jesus wouldn't do that for me. Oh, He did it for Peter. He'll do it for you. So, guys, keep your eyes on Jesus when you're in that storm. And it's okay. And y'all know what happened. Peter steps out on the water and he takes a few steps, right? And then, just like you and me, I would have at least looked behind me to see what's happening to the boat. I would have taken my eyes off Jesus, some reason, logical reason. And as soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, guess what happens? Peter started sinking to his death. Like, we don't understand that. To his death, he started sinking. And then Jesus reached his hand out, and Peter did the thing that brings you life. Right now, there's places in my life where I need His hand. I need Him to give me something I don't have. You ever been there? I've been there a lot. I was telling Tyler and Harvey and Rick about what I was going to preach today, and I was like, guys, I need a good illustration for this, you know? And then I started thinking about something in my life, and I told them, and Tyler said, oh, that's it. You should tell that. I'm like, no, I don't want to tell that. I'm not telling that part. I'll tell you all about the parts when I wasn't sinking, the parts when I was victorious, the parts where I was dead on and right. I don't want to tell you about when I struggled, you know? I'm still not telling you, but at least I thought about it. And Tyler's like, tell him, no. It is, but I do. I struggle sometimes. I have storms. I have circumstances, good and bad, you know, and some are easy and some aren't so easy. I was thinking of one the other day, you know. What about when you have responsibilities and you run out of resources, like out of money? Out of whatever, right? What about when you get there? See, you need the Lord for that. You need Jesus for that. Okay, so now, God's commands are possible because of the power of the Holy Spirit welling up inside of us. To walk through a storm is possible because of the presence of God in us. And you'll see us. You know, why aren't you worried? Why are you smiling? Why are you... I mean, really, because, you know, the world can spot a fake a mile away. You know, if you're faking it, everybody knows it. But what if you're really at peace in a storm? Then people notice. And it gives glory to God. And God is looking for that. You know, every time God desires something from you, it's the best thing for you. Do you realize that? God wants us to be thankful, to have a heart of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness, because that is what's best for us. You know, being thankful, this is what's really funny to me, because it makes us all look like idiots. I shouldn't have said that, not an idiot. Maybe I don't have a word for it, but it does. It's like, now, would you rather be sad or happy? Would you rather be depressed or excited? You know, it's like, well, this is dumb. Everybody, who wants to be that way? I wrote these words down because I was like, that is so grateful. Do I want to be thankful? It's a lot better than being complaining all the time. It's a lot better than being negative. You know, it's crazy. I don't want to be miserable. Do you enjoy being resentful and holding grudges? I mean, come on. I mean, some of us, we sort of act like we do, but you don't. You don't. Well, but I can't be thankful all the time. You're right, you can't, but he can. In you, he can. Now today I'm offering you a gift from the Lord that'll be greater than anything the devil wants to give you. Because God wants what's best for you, and being thankful is what's best for you. I love this. Being grateful is a lot better for you than being irritated and judgmental. Are any of you guys gifted at judging? Like, okay, so that's, I'll say it in a more positive way. Are any of you gifted at seeing how to do things perfectly and do things right? Are you gifted at that? Now, listen, I know your names. I can name like 10 people in this room right now that they're gifted, boy. It's sort of like being, yeah, Dan is. If you ever build anything with Dan, he's a carpenter. Oh, Lord, he drives me crazy. You know, if it's a hundredth of an inch off, it doesn't matter. Except for to Dan, it does. But you know that gift. You know that gift of pointing out when something's not perfect that some of you have? You know, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. Now, you know what the devil does? He uses that gift so that you can judge yourself. He uses that gift so you can judge other people. Well, they messed up. Well, I wouldn't have said it that way. Well, that wasn't a good thing to do. What a stupid waste of money. Can you believe? You know, and then you tell somebody, and that's even worse, right? That's called gossip. I can't hardly even say the word gossip. It's gossip. Well, did you see what she wore to church today? Huh. My gosh. Did you see what their children did? Did you see that? Did you hear what the preacher said? He slipped up and cursed. Oh, Emsley, I did not. I take it back. I wouldn't do it in front of Emsley. Right. It's like, but if you're gifted, you know anytime somebody's singing is off out of key. You know when someone's not dressed appropriately. You are gifted at that. And you, if you judge yourself, you're going to judge other people. Because the judgment you use will be used against you. And you know what? You're going to think they're judging you too. I'm going to tell you, I don't judge you how you dress at all because I have no sense of style. So, you know, it makes me, other than if you're wearing those shoes Jennifer's wearing today. Then I took a picture of them so I could show a lady at a Stonebridge assisted living place. Because she's an old woman and she wears house shoes like that in her wheelchair. And I tell her, I said, my daughter-in-law wears that kind of stuff. You got that gaudy stuff to church. And she's an old Baptist, so she's a sense. So God tells us this. It's like, it's a gift from God. It's just a lot better. Now, being grateful, not a robotic thankfulness. I mean, I appreciate you parents, because some of you parents, I do it. If I do something for your kid or somebody gives them something, you know, you instantly stop and say, tell them thank you. Like, that's a good thing, right? Children need to not be entitled. They need to be grateful and thankful. And so, and you know, the kid will be like, thank you. And they didn't mean it. It wasn't out of their heart. They just didn't want to get a spanking. Right? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's better than not being thankful at all, but that's not what Jesus wants from us. He doesn't want a bunch of robots that do things out of rote. He wants people who, because of His presence inside of them, are thankful all the time. People who can go through a storm and be thankful, can go through pain and be thankful. And that takes a miracle to be that kind of a person. It just takes a miracle. And He wants that because it's better for us. It's better to be thankful than to focus on all the faults. You know, people have faults. You have faults. I have faults. We all have faults. It's better to be thankful. You know, I really do appreciate Paul Beatty being here today, even though he is dressed a little, like, not really that good. He's dressed just like me. We're both wearing flannel. So you're dressed really good today, Paul. You could have got Christmas colors to be better, though. Now, this is funny. I just stole this off of the internet, right, this part. This is one of the benefits of being thankful scientifically in everyone. It's not just a church thing. It's an everything thing, right? And so I asked AI, the artificial intelligence lady. She said, being improved mental health, an attitude of gratitude can enhance overall well-being by reducing negative emotions like envy, resentment, and frustration, while fostering positive feelings such as empathy, joy, and satisfaction. It literally gives you better physical health and mental health. Like literally, your blood pressure goes down. People that are grateful experience fewer aches and pains. This is just facts. It's just the absolute truth. You know, the Bible says a cheerful heart is good medicine. It literally is the most powerful medicine you could ever buy, is developing and coming to that place with the Lord where you're thankful in all circumstances, in everything. And it'll make you well. It is a blessing. It enhances your relationships, is how that she said it on the AI girl. It gives you a sense of connection and mutual appreciation. Being thankful will make you a more likable person. You know, people don't like to be around people that are gripey and complaining and point out all the negative things in the world. Like I don't know why we listen to the news, because that's all it is. And what, the more bad news they give, the more viewership they have. Isn't that crazy? But you know, the truth is, if you want people to like you, be a thankful person. Be a grateful person. Don't point out the negative all the time. You know, I walk in a room and I can spot 100 negative things, and if I'm not careful, I'll tell you. I mean, I wasn't going to say anything about the way they did these trees, but they're not all perfect. I'm just saying. Right? And that'd be great. I'll walk in here, instead of Daniel saying, thank you guys for giving and supporting, and thank you for helping clean out that dirty shed, if he had come in here and said, you know, I wish you'd all do more. Have y'all seen the dirt spots on this carpet up here? Which would you rather be around? Maybe you need to find out God's secret for gratefulness and thankfulness, and maybe then people would like you better. Maybe your boss would like you. You know who gets hired, who gets promoted at work? It's not who's the best at something. It's who the boss likes. Don't fool yourself. It's who they like. They're not going to hire you. You're not going to get hired for a job if the boss doesn't like you. Guys, you might want to be thankful. It actually improves your sleep. It does. Be thankful. Builds your self-esteem, absolutely. You mean me being thankful builds my self-esteem? Yes, because all of a sudden it changes everything. So people just like being around thankful, positive, hopeful people. Why do people want to be around Jesus? He was always thankful. He was always hopeful. He always saw the sun that was coming up. You know, the scripture's full of words like that. So, I want to read that same verse out of the New Living Translation, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Always. Listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what the scripture says, right? Does that just make you mad? Like, what if you're not feeling it? What if you know that verse is in the Bible, but I'm not feeling it right now. There's not a lot of joy. I'm not really thankful for anything. Have you seen what is happening to me? It's like true. So when he says, be thankful in all circumstances, All circumstances, I heard somebody say this, I said, that is so true. All circumstances literally is the circle that you're living in. It's the stuff circling all around you. That's what a circumstance is. It's like what's going on in your family, what's going on at your work, what's going on with your body, what's going on, what are you thinking? And he wants us to be thankful in all circumstances. And that doesn't, he's not saying this, okay? Because the truth is, do your circumstances define your life? Do your circumstances define your heart and your thankfulness and your joy? Is that what determines who you are on the inside? No. No. That can't be what it is. There's something greater than your circumstances. There's someone greater than your circumstances. Well, Alan, wait a second. My circumstances, you don't know. And it doesn't say, like you look at that verse, it does not say be thankful for all circumstances. Because sometimes circumstances are not what God wants for us. Sometimes we create them. Sometimes other people create them. Sometimes it's just life. But they're not what God wants. We know God's will. He wants the same thing being done in heaven to be done on earth in our lives. We know His will. We know what He wants. He wants no more pain, no more sorrows, no more brokenness. We know that's what He wants. You know what the truth is? I think sometimes we look at this and we think God's commanding us to be thankful for the circumstance. That's not what the Scripture says. It says be thankful in the circumstance. You see, He didn't call us to leave the world. That's not what He called us to. He called us to be a shining light in the world. So we don't leave the circumstances. We have to be thankful in them. I was, what day was that? You know Jennifer, the shoe girl? November 17th. Y'all know Jennifer? She's leading worship up here. She spoke on November the 17th here. She preached that morning on the stage. She did. And did any of you guys hear her preach? Were y'all here? Would you raise your hand? I just want to see what kind of, okay, so more than half of you were here. If you didn't hear it, go listen to the podcast or look it up on gfcabot.com and you can listen to the sermon either online or on a podcast. But amazing. Amazing. She told some of her life story, and she did it in such a beautiful way. And she talked about a princess, a little girl, who had a wonderful king and queen parents. And then she told about that little princess, a beautiful little girl, who was surrounded by orgs in the castle. And it's, you know, and she told more than I wanted to about, I got to walk with her through that. You see, those circumstances she was describing in her life were real. They were so real. And I was sitting right there, right? And it seems like it took about a year and a half to go through her 100 traumatic things, but I'm sitting there listening to her describe it in this beautiful way and being the beautiful person she is. And I remember walking through her through every one of those things. And I couldn't stop the tears because I remembered how bad it hurt, how horrible. It was unbelievable. And, you know, it's funny. When Jesus heals those things, He didn't change any of the circumstances. He's just greater than the circumstances. And so I got, the only reason I can do that, and I'm not with just Jennifer, I've done it with hundreds of people. I couldn't do that if Jesus didn't heal it's too painful because it hurts to go through those things. So week after week after week, I saw Jennifer be strong and courageous, and surely that was just given to her from the Lord, and face the most painful things you could imagine. And not, they didn't, Jesus doesn't just come in and poof, it's not magic. She lived, experienced it, and Jesus healed all the pains, all the wounds. Now, she's still growing. It's not ever over, but that is over. And all of a sudden, that stuff that was controlling her life, literally controlling her life for decades, is no longer controlling her. And she smiles. Someone who should never smile, smiles and is happy. And she's not faking it anymore. You see, Jesus is greater than your greatest trials. He's greater than the worst storm you've ever been in. No matter what it is, your circumstances don't control your life. He's greater than that. And when I think about that, I like, you know, that's amazing. This morning, can the joy of the Lord be our strength? Is there a place where we can be thankful? So I remember going through that with her, and this was horrible. So as we're getting to the end of that more year and a half process, whatever it was, you know, every week just about, we would get together and do seed digging, and I dreaded it. Honestly, it's like I look forward to it a week in advance, like every week. I'm like, oh God, I got to meet with Jennifer again. I don't want to do this. And really, I didn't want to drag her through it. And so one day, I'm not complaining. I was complaining. I was just talking to the Lord before I met with her. I said, Jesus, I wish Jennifer, my wonderful daughter-in-law, one of my two wonderful daughter-in-laws, I wish that she wouldn't have had to go through this. That's all I did. I just, that's not even a really bad complaint, really. I just sort of wishing. And Jesus said, oh, really? And I'm like, uh-oh. I don't see something right. You see, I wasn't thankful in that circumstance for her. I wanted the circumstance to be gone. Do you know that circumstances don't control our lives? We choose who controls our life. So I told God, I said, God, I just, and then he spoke to me. He said, and this sort of made me emotional, made me hurt. He said, oh, so you don't want Jennifer as your daughter-in-law? And that made me mad. Right? Like, let God come and tell you, you don't want your children. Doesn't matter what they do, how, what hurt they are, you want them. And so I was a little snarky. I said, I didn't call God a name or anything, but I was like, no, I want Jennifer. He said, oh, so you don't want Camille and Jacob. I was like, what? I was getting really ticked off by the end. I'm like, I am not happy. I'm like, God, I would not trade my grandchildren for anybody or anything. He said, you take away the life that Jennifer triumphed over, and she wouldn't be Jennifer. She wouldn't have met Daniel. She wouldn't have married him, and then Camille and Jacob would have never been born. And in my heart, I'm like, God, I'm really smart, aren't I? I think the circumstances are what determine our lives and not you. And I repented. I don't like it. You see, you don't have to like it, the circumstances you're in. You shouldn't like them when they're darkness, when they're hard. But you thank God for it anyway, because he makes all things work for the good for those who love him. And you and I can't understand it. You know, this was before that happened. One day, I'm watching children grow up here at Grace, you know, for decades now. And I'm watching children that fall in love with Jesus, like young, like at 14 or 11. And I'm like, this is amazing. They have self-confidence. They're not proud. They're not mean and rebellious. They're not like me. Because I had a hard childhood. I mean, Dana's not here this morning, thank God. She said I was the meanest person. My little sister, my lovely little sister, said I was the meanest person she'd ever met. Now, she's met some really mean people, guys. She's ran on the wrong side of the track. I'm like, wow, Dana, thanks for that. I had a childhood I wasn't proud of. A teenage years I wasn't proud of. And one day I'm just talking to the Lord. I said, God, I wish I would have fallen in love with you when I was 11 or 10. My life would be so different. You know, I wasn't thankful for my past. Are you thankful for your past? I wasn't. I wanted to erase it. And God said, oh, really? Again. And then he just took me through the whole list. And he said, oh, you don't want Grace Fellowship, do you? I said, I didn't say that. He said, oh, you want to be pastoring a church in some metropolitan area and wearing a three-piece suit every week and driving a fancy car? And yeah, that's what you want? I said, I didn't say that, God. He said, oh, and you don't want to be doing seed digging with people and seeing people set free. You would rather be this. And I get angry a little bit. I'm like, no, God, I do not. He said, go back and change your life that you're not thankful for, and you wouldn't be who you are. You'd have never met your wife. You'd have never had your children. You'd never had Grace Fellowship. And what? I'm like, God, I wouldn't trade this for anything. He didn't say this. It was my thought. I said, I just need to quit complaining and be thankful, because God had this thing. Guys, God has this thing. He has you. He has this whole thing. You don't need to be thankful for all circumstances. God wants us to be thankful in. Because you know what we're thankful for? Our world teaches us to be thankful for the stuff. The gifts, for the, you know, the material things, the physical things, the way we look, the way we dress, all this stuff. That's what the world tempts us to be thankful about, that stuff. The truth is, you know what we should be thankful for? Jesus. Jesus. He did it all. It's for by grace you are saved through faith. And guys, God wants us to recognize and to remember. He wants us to remember. He really does. I love this verse. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, in that verse, in Ephesians 3 and in Ephesians 4, he said the same thing. Paul said this, when I think of all this, Paul, what are you talking about? When I think about all the Lord has done for us, I fall to my knees and pray for the Father. You see, our thankfulness goes back to Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We're thankful for what Jesus has done. Because when we're thankful for what He's done, it takes the monkey off of our backs. It's not what we do. It's for by grace you're saved through faith, not by works, lest any man can boast. You see, no, I want to remember what Jesus has done for me. And when you remember what He's done for you, when you think of His glorious, unlimited resources, He'll empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. When you think about those things that Jesus has already done, you think about, who does Jesus say you are? He said you're the apple of His eye. He said that you're worth His life. He said that you're righteous. He said that He made you holy. He paid your price. He set you free from sin. He's got a plan and a purpose and a future and a destiny for you. That's what Jesus says. He said you're seated with Him in heaven. Now, do you think about those things? He said that you're in His family. You're actually in the same family. You're a brother. You're a son and a daughter of God. You see, you're royalty. That's what He says. Yeah, but I'm not acting like it. Are you going to trust your circumstances or are you going to trust what he says? You see, you know what the battle is for us to be thankful? I'm in a constant battle to believe what the Scripture says about me and what Jesus says about me. And there's 1,000 voices around me that are trying to take me off of that. And I want to judge myself, and I want to judge you, and I want to look at all the negative stuff in the world, or do I want to believe what Jesus said? And you know why? If you trust him, your roots will grow down into God's love, and it'll keep you strong. How are you going to stand up when the storm comes? And it comes. It may be here right now. You know how you do it? You trust him. Yeah, but I failed 1,000 times. Would you quit trusting yourself? It doesn't say. I mean, I've read this. I've read the Bible 100 times, and Tyler's name isn't in it. It doesn't say, oh, trust Tyler. Tyler will do good. Tyler, you'll do better. Come on. You'll be fine, Tyler. No, it says trust God. It says God knit you together in your mother's womb, and you're complaining about how you look or how tall you are or how short you are. No, trust God. He made you perfect for your groove that he has cut into eternity. And it's time to trust God. You see, today you can become one of those people that can stand in a storm, that can walk on the water, that all of the plans and purposes of God become true inside of you. How do you do it? It's through grace, by faith. Do you believe what Jesus says about you? Or do you believe what the world, what you, what other people say about you? I know what God says about you. He says you're lovely. He says you're beautiful. He said you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said he's paid for your sin, and you're holy, and you're sanctified. That's how he sees you. What do you think? So you get to choose. You're in a circle of circumstances. There's stuff all around you, right? All of us. Who determines your worth, your value? Who determines how you see yourself? Is it that stuff? Is it the storm? Or is it him? I want to trust him. He thinks I'm the best ever. Like, I even quit praying for my eyes to get healed because, you know what? He made them like this. I think I might be happy with it. What are you praying for your ears to shrink or whatever? I don't know. Whatever it is you don't like about yourself. Come on, Sharon. You know, it's like this morning I want to ask the Lord to do something. I've been asking him. I want to be thankful on the inside. The way I get thankful on the inside is by trusting and believing in what he's done for me. And it's not just salvation not to go to hell. He said he makes you righteous. He sanctifies you. He makes you holy. Well, I thought I had to do something. If you could do something, he wouldn't have needed to die. Don't belittle what Jesus did for us. He's happy with you. He just wants you to line up with him. Trust him. Well, it's not perfect. He made you perfectly not perfect. He gave you that ability to want perfection and everything. He loves the fact that you're not, because he made you that way. He made me just perfect. I keep wanting to be a good speaker like T.D. Jakes or any of those other guys, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm about ready to give that up and just be satisfied. Which means I'm about ready to trust the way you made me, God, and not what I see. Are you ready to trust him? Listen, wouldn't it be a good day to let it go? You know, Frozen Anna or whoever, Anna, Brianna, I don't remember her name, but let it go. Let it go. Let that thing inside of you that keeps criticizing and judging and being unhappy, let it go. Quit watching the stupid news. Hang around with Christians who are just foolishly happy. That'll be better. And some of you, it's going to kill you to stop it. Good, you need to die. Matter of fact, Jesus said you died with him. When he died, you died. And when he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead too. So why are you judging yourself? Because he's already done it. So this morning, I encourage you, if you're in a storm and you're battling, let one of your brothers and sisters in Christ give you a hand. You see, Jesus isn't here now, but the Holy Spirit's living inside of us. And he's in us. Let him reach out and give you a hand this morning. We're going to have some teams. Let's all stand up if you can. If you're here this morning and you struggle with this, we'd love to pray with you. You know? We'd really love to pray with you. To reach out and grab your hand and pick you up out of the water. And it's good. It's what's best for you. Amen. So God, I just thank you for this morning. Jesus, I thank you for your word. That your word does today is good. And Lord, I just ask that we don't know what's going on, but everybody's in circumstances. And Jesus, I want you to, you said that joy would come in the morning when the darkness is gone. So God, I just ask that there could be a sunrise today inside of us. Every one of us here, that you would, the sun would rise in our hearts today. Jesus loves you and he wants you. He invites you to come in. Amen. So thank you for being here this morning, and we would love to pray with you. Tell everybody hello. Thank you. Thanks, Tommy.